Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Retail plus a very small amount with free shipping. And then we'll let it go from there.
Because it's Shadespire! You've been caught up in a Shadespire!
There's a lot of shit in that box.
Shadespire!
Interestingly
enough, a lot of cards.
The least numerous item in the Shadespire box is the models.
Well, duh.
Yeah, which I'm not complaining.
I appreciate the fact that it's only $70.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I mean, I think it's about $10 overpriced, but $70 ain't too bad. I think the sweet spot for the game would be in about 60.
Yeah, I think 70 is fine. Board games have been there's been the
creep.
Yeah, the price creep of board games. So I think 70, in my opinion, 70 is the new 50.
I love the Steelheart model.
Yeah, he's awesome.
But that picture of him on the box is goddamn ridiculous.
His head is actually a box.
Oh my god,
it looks like a refrigerator.
The tiniest eyes, and he's just like.
Well, yeah, it's because his eyes are only for Sigmar, so they're very small.
His eyes are only for Sigmar.
Yeah, that's right.
He is the Steelheart. Oh man, no, I dig the figures and.
Oh yeah, the sculpts are nice. I appreciate they're all unique. It's cool.
Yeah, I think the coolest part is that they're completely unique.
I heard there's gonna be a second Khorne warband too.
What? Why would they do a second fucking Khorne warband?
I think it's gonna be demons.
It's so ridiculous. It's like if you followed a flowchart for the Age of Sigmar release, it would be like, is it Stormcast? Yes or no? Yes, release immediately. No. Mm-hmm. Go to step two. Step two. Is it a Khorne warband? Yes or no?
Yeah, I don't know. I just heard that there's possibly another Khorne warband, which I thought was really interesting.
It's like, yes. Go to step three. Is the Khorne warband better than the Sigmarines? Yes. Go back. No. Release immediately.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the undead and the orcs, and then of course the other factions. I hear there's a lot of them in the pipeline.
Ooh, in the pipeline? Are we gonna finally get female dwarves, female fire slayers?
That'd be nice.
Did you see the
There have been two female dwarf models from GW, I think.
Well, only one has been released since 5th edition.
Right.
But before that, there was a bunch. They were all Michael Perry, and they were all Periscopes. Maybe not Periscopes.
Yeah, there were lots.
But whatever.
Lots of lady dwarves.
Yeah, well, that was pre-slotted days. There was a bunch of female. There was a bunch of female figures in general pre-slotted days. And all of a sudden, they were like, "No, girls. Girls are bad."
I think they were just cutting costs. To be honest,
it costs too much to sculpt boobs. Is what you're saying?
You can do more with less because you just really sprues and just like you don't need any variety. Look at the Dark Elves.
Yeah,
Elves are a perfect example because they are the same exact models, but they just have little boobers.
They have boobers, yeah. And
but you can't get away with that with like dwarves because I don't believe GW dwarves have. Females have full nice beards.
Well, if you saw there was a press release done I think about a week ago where they were talking about like, hey, look, we know you guys want female figures, we're going to start releasing them more. Mm-hmm. You got to understand that
There's a lady Stormcast in the warband.
Well, that's what he said. He goes, you got to understand our sculpting is done 6 months ahead of time, so, pre-release. So, we're taking into effect, you're going to start seeing more female models, but you kind of got to give us a little bit because we just started doing this.
See, they really dropped the ball because they could have went straight with the Tolkien dwarves and just been like, what are you talking about? There's a bunch of female dwarves. You just can't tell. They got beards. It's the beards.
And the Plastic Sisters are going to be coming out soon, too. Mm. But I always think that the Sisters of Battle is the rallying cry of the misogynists. Like, well, of course they got girls. They got the Sisters of Battle. They can't mix with the boys.
I mean, they do have built-in high heels in their power armor.
No, it's like the worst, too, because they got the booby armor, high heels, stockings
They're a product of their time, which is like the late 80s.
Yeah, but it's 2017.
They're heavy metal.
We can easily move past this.
Yeah.
Well, it's just battle or just Space Marines.
Yeah, but what about the
who are
leather,
not as good as Space Marines?
What about
Marines?
The leather fetishists out there? Yeah. Actually, for a long time, the Sisters of Battle were better than Space Marines, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, leather fetishes and fetishism in and of itself is a whole separate category. We're okay with that, whatever floats your boat, man. I've grown. I used to be like, I always said this.
I appreciate this dank Arena Rex model.
Oh yeah. By the way, guys, I'm sorry. I finally got this to Steve. It's been sitting in my basement since Gen Con.
I mean, they're my next project after the Nurglemans are complete.
Morbidex twice born.
I'm still intimidated intensely by the Arena Rex models.
Yeah, well,
they don't have those big goofy chunk details that the GW figures have.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of, kind of in the same way, I have eliminated about a good 30% of my collection of
stuff.
That's
impressive.
Yes, I've been.
For you, that's like, okay, that's like cutting off a limb.
I know. So I got rid of about 30% of all of the stuff I've owned, and I've made about $3,000 to $4,000 off of it. And trust me, guys, this is stuff I'm not going to make a ton of money off of. This is not like I'm keeping my prize material. Like, I have not touched Clan War. I have not touched Rackham stuff. There's a couple other games I haven't touched yet, but I've gotten rid of everything that's been produced, like, pretty much in the last 10 years that I've bought.
Getting rid of the real junk.
Yeah. I mean, I sold all of my Dystopian Wars, and my Dystopian Legions finally sold as well.
Nice.
My fully painted Dystopian Legions army sold for about $200. So I was like, woohoo! I mean, the paint jobs alone on that were worth more, but when you put a nice paint job on poop, you're really not going to make that much money off of it.
Weren't those minis sculpted pretty well? I don't know.
Really... I mean, I don't really mind them, but there's no call for them anymore.
Oh, right. Well, so. I mean, Imperial Guard.
But I mean, they're a little tall for that. They're 32s.
Mm.
Well, let me just...
Vestroians.
Vestroians!
Vestroians were pretty big,
weren't
they?
Yeah, they were huge.
Yeah. Vestroians were a cool fucking army.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were sweet.
Yeah, that's why Dave Max has, like, a bajillion of them.
He does. He's a shit ton. He might have the most Vestroians of anyone in the world.
Yeah, it's like, you know how I have...
Number one Vestroian player.
Number one Vestroian player, Dave Max.
I have them.
I must break you with my Vestroians. That goes into our first bit of news. You know, we talked about Spartan Games imploding like
more
a
like Fartan Games.
Yes,
got him.
Collapsing like a flan in the cupboard. Got bought up by the same people who bought up Wild West Exodus. What's their not Mythic? It's whatever.
Oh, isn't there like a bunch of warning signs about them too? Aren't they like a skeezy company? I can't remember.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay, I might be wrong. I don't want to incorrectly accuse them, because there's like a few minis companies out there that are extraordinarily skeezy, like the one who ran that Kickstarter for that like
Dreamforge, I think it was.
No, Dreamforge. They do. I think Dreamforge is the one who makes the plastic.
The plastic Titan.
No. There's nothing scummy about them.
There was like some company that they worked with that was scuzzy.
Oh yeah, I think it's the one who made that minis game. Yeah. Like they just collected the Kickstarter money and then just went silent.
War Games Limited.
I don't know.
Like that.
There's a few, and they're legendarily scummy. So
legendarily scummy.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. War Cradle. That's the one.
Do you think all of the Karadin Overlords ships make the noise when they fly?
No, they make toot toot.
You think they toot toot?
They make toot toot.
What about the really little ones? Do they go?
No, those are the ones that go toot toot. The big ones are the ones that go. No, War Cradle bought up Wild West Exodus, and okay, now they bought up the Spartan Games.
Yeah, they're not a scummy company that I've heard.
No, they're British.
Well, then, and I guess they're imperialists. So.
Yes. Dirty queen lickers. Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of like one of those things. It's like, what's War Cradle's endgame here? Because now they've bought up two games that didn't really have that big of a following to begin with. So what are they going to do?
Actually, Wild West Exodus was fucking huge for a minute. It was huge.
For like, it wasn't even a minute. It was like 15 seconds.
But from what I understand, it died because it was broken as fuck.
And also the guy running it was racist.
That happened afterwards. the game was pretty much already, I think the game was pretty much already dead, so he was okay to just be like, I actually am a turbo racist.
Turbo racist.
Yeah.
Doesn't he still run Battle Foam?
I believe he does.
Yeah. That's why I will never own Battle Foam, but mainly because I own 6 GW hard cases. So
I still suggest A case. I think it's the best.
A case.
Yeah, I think it's the best miniatures thing out there. I think they're from Poland.
Oh, okay.
It's A dash case.
Why the hell am I going to have any sort of? Why am I going to put anything in foam? I'm not transporting my. I'm not playing these games.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about A case. It's not foam. It's a metal.
It's you were telling me about that.
It's in like a zippered what's a sable case, but the inside is metal. It's like metal brackets, and they send you exactly, and they send you magnets to glue to the bottom of your fingers. So that's what I have my Nurglemans on, and it's so easy because you just stick some fucking magnets under your models. You can have them in their display case at home, and then if you actually want to take them somewhere, you take your A case out of the closet, jam them on the metal things, and just go.
That's what I. So my travel thing that what I do with my figures are, I create my movement tray that I have. You know, it's one I bought off Amazon, and it comes with a stand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a movable tray, and it has a stand underneath it that you could fold out. But what I did was I took a piece of sheet metal, and I cut it to the top of the tray.
Yeah.
And what I did was
magnetized it.
I textured the sheet metal with whatever base I'm currently using,
mm-hmm.
and I drilled magnets into the tray. So now I could just remove the top of the tray, the metal part. And I put the magnets underneath my model so they just stick right to the tray.
Nice.
And not have to worry about any of that stuff.
That's good.
So.
Yeah, after having...
Necessity is the mother of invention.
After having played many miniatures games for a long time and used various foam cases and army transport solutions, I can definitively say that a magnetic case is by far the absolute best.
I can honestly say, don't play these games.
It's
people,
easiest.
Just get out.
Well,
go
yeah.
out, see the world.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Just listen to us for the comedy. Don't listen to us for any of the gaming advice, because gaming is stupid.
I mean, to be fair, once you get past...
And you're stupid for liking
once
gaming.
Once you get past, like, 25, like, you don't really play these games anymore.
No, you don't.
You just paint them.
You paint them in...
For whatever reason, regardless of your free time or not, you just don't. Because, like, for me, like, I don't have kids or anything, so I could go play games whenever I want, but fuck it. I just want to stay home and play video games. It's like, I got to go out to the game store and, like, see people.
You bought,
like,
Cuphead yet?
Cuphead's on systems I don't own. It's on PC, which I don't have a gaming PC,
okay.
And it's on Xbone.
Oh, it's on the Xbone?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking about it, but I've heard it's just hard. It's real hard.
I mean, it's no harder than, like, Contra. Like, if you like the old hard platformers like Contra, Castlevania, it's... From, everyone says it's like
not
an
Contra.
It's an easier Contra 3 is what it is.
Oh, okay.
Contra is...
That's right.
With that like hustle run they've got. But yeah, it's easier than Contra 3.
And then once you get the spread gun, the game's over.
Well, Cuphead, you can get the spread gun almost right away.
Oh.
But yeah, no, it's not.
Cuphead is gorgeous.
Yeah,
but I mean,
it's really good looking. It's just a... There's like... Anytime any game comes out that's like moderately difficult, you have like this new... It's not a culture war, but it's similar to the culture war, where you have like... People who are like, oh, this game's kind of hard. And then you have, like, the idiots who are like, oh, this is the Dark Souls of blank.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's a joke. And then you have, like, the get good, like, crowd who just, like, are the most insufferable fuckwits who, like, so they, everything gets exaggerated. So, like, Cuphead is a game that requires some challenge. Like, it's just got some challenge. That's all.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fucking game that has some challenge.
Yeah, it's a side-scrolling platformer.
Right.
Like, they don't really make those games anymore.
So when you see them, you're like, holy shit, this game's super hard. And it's like,
Well, because these damn wiener kids never grew up on Nintendo.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, if you grew up on an NES, you're just like, oh, this is like an NES game. God, NES games sucked.
Yeah.
it's
much nicer looking than an NES
game,
thankfully.
Well, that's true. I was talking about this the other day with some people at work. We used to set up a Nintendo emulator on our... You know, our auditorium screen for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And these are a bunch of high schoolers.
Oh, they suck at Nintendo
15,
games.
16. They cannot get past the first Goomba on Mario Brothers. They just can't.
They're terrible. I mean, 2D gaming is like a not a thing, really.
Yeah,
because
it kind of sucked, but, you know, we grew up with it, so we have some nostalgia value
it. Platforming's fun. It's like the most basic of game. It's like move guy, jump guy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more. Well, I mean, games are arguably more complex, so they're more difficult to interact with.
Yeah,
but they're easier to play. Like a game like a Shadow of Mordor. Like, that game is infinitely more complex than Mario, but it's easier than Mario.
Yeah,
like there's way more shit to do, but it's still easier.
You know what game I hate? I hated anything with Solid Snake.
Oh, Metal Gear?
Metal Gear. Thank you.
I really like Metal Gear 3.
Snake.
Dun 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. I think the Metal Gear franchise is one of the most overrated ones out there, but there's some solid games in there. Metal Gear 3 Snake Eater, I think, is the best one.
Never cared too much for it.
When there's a part in Snake Eater when you're the intro where you're climbing up a ladder and starts doing a fucking credit. The ladder's the longest ladder in the history of video games, and the credit sequence happens when you're climbing this ladder, and it starts singing a fucking song, and it's like a James Bond song. It's like, Snake. Snake Eater. It's like a James Bond movie.
That's pretty cool.
It was fucking awesome. I was like, this is the greatest. And I believe that was the apex of the series. I was
hoping that it would be some like one of those Japanese like songs that's just like that completely doesn't fit with the tone of the game.
Oh no, Hideo Kojima's too into America to Japanese his games up. He's an Ameriweeb.
Yeah, it's an Ameriweeb. We were talking yesterday on texting about Ameriweebs.
Yeah, and Hideo Kojima is definitely an Ameriweeb.
I'm all into cartoons.
That's anime for you uninitiated.
I hope to get a job at Nickelodeon creating cartoons or writing for cartoons.
That's pretty funny. Actually, interesting enough, Japan is still starved for animators. They're totally like looking for anyone to come and do animation.
Yeah, well, just send it to Korea. That's what we do.
I mean, they do that too. But like, that's the thing. There's a lot of anime being produced. This is like an insane amount lately.
Anime was a mistake.
That's what Hayao Miyazaki says.
Okay, so let's go.
And the best one is there's an add-on to that one where it says, like, except for JoJo. JoJo's all right.
Let's go into some other... you know what? We had the auction 2 weeks ago, the Games Plus auction. I usually give my State of the Gaming Union. Shit's fucked. basically, sell everything that you have that's not GW because it will not be worth anything anytime soon. Everyone is dumping everything and going back to 40K. Hands down. That's what's happening. Your local gaming group?
That's what's up.
You playing Dark Age? Not anymore. You playing 40K, boy. That's what's happening. What are you guys playing over there? Oh, we're playing Infinity. No, you're not. You're playing 40K. That's right. What you're doing.
Everyone's playing 40K.
Well, what about our new edition of Flames of War? No, you're not. You're playing 40K.
40K.
That's basically what it is. Every, like, Bolt Action? Oh, we're playing Bolt Action 28. Oh, you mean you're playing 40K? Bolt Action 40K. World War II 40K is what you're playing. No, everyone is... Yeah, you
40K.
Yeah, of course there was the resellers who were making everything miserable for everyone, but even they were getting, their prices were getting bumped up to about 75% retail. So it was 25% off, but you know, if you're good at being a miniatures buyer, you know where you can get shit for 25-30% off. Mm-hmm. No problem. If you know where to look, you can find that. So these guys
also, if you're willing to put in the work, you can get stuff cheaper than that on eBay, but you have to put in work when you get the product.
Yeah. I mean,
you have to buy like garbage.
Yeah. I mean, this guy was buying like stuff 75% retail, and I'm like, you're not going to make any profit off this. Like, what? Are you going to make like $5-$10 per purchase? You fucked yourself. Man.
Oh, Lord of the Rings still a bumper stock. Like, you can still get plenty of them from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Games Workshop, man. It's Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I think you still can. I sold all my Lord of the Rings stuff recently, and I made some decent bank. I think I sold everything that I owned, and most of it was trash, just trash. And I still made about $600 off
of it. People are hungry for Lord of the Rings models, man.
Yeah. you know, and I was very careful with the Lord of the Rings stuff because it's very fragile, right? Like all those little like stupid swords and everything like that. So I wrapped everything up, and I got a message from one of the guys. It's like, you gotta be more careful. Some of these swords broke off. I'm like, it's Lord of the Rings. You can't.
There's no protection for Lord of the Rings.
There's no protection for it. You are taking your chances for that.
Rolling the dice.
Snake.
That's Mario.
I didn't end up buying too much of another because I wasn't really looking for anything. You know, I'll buy generally stuff whatever I'm painting and anything that looks unique. There was some cool stuff, a lot of cool terrain there. Luckily this time there was all the majority of the people who did it in like the half-ass terrain, like I'm gonna cut some hills and just flock them really quick and throw them in there, they made no money. So nice. Like it was like $5-$6 for like a giant box, which is good because that's BS.
That's been a bane of the auction for a while, like really shitty terrain, I'd say.
Yeah, and the people who take the aquarium plants and put them on bases And they're like, it's jungle terrain. Yeah. No, it's not. It's trash.
That's some really bad looking aquarium terrain is what you got there, buddy.
But yeah.
They always pick the worst stuff because there's actually solid aquarium terrain that you could use as.
Oh, I use it all. I used a bunch of it. Yeah.
You can use a bunch of really solid aquarium terrain for your miniatures. But people always pick and try to resell the worst looking pieces.
Well, I like the Roman rune terrain.
Yeah.
I took a bunch of that, based it, and painted it up really nice. And I used it for bolt action. I used it for some Italian terrain.
There you go.
And I was like, this is pretty cool. But aside from that,
Bataction.
So if you are currently looking to get rid of some of your stuff, now's the time to do it. Just dump it all, because you know what? It's not going to be worth anything anytime soon.
It's true.
My prediction, we talked about this on this cast before, I say by the end of, you know, around this time next year, probably two or three of the bigger popular games are going to fold. War Machine or Hordes, probably Malifaux, they're going to be gone because there's no one playing those games anymore. Mm-hmm. Infinity might be gone, or Infinity...
Well, Infinity's weird. Infinity's kind of stuck around without anyone ever really playing it, so I don't actually know.
You are correct, but one of the bigger issues with all of this stuff is that everyone's going back to 40K, because 40K is so easy right now. It is one of the only times I've ever seen an edition change where it's brought in more people than it's lost. Every other game that does an edition change will lose players. If it's a good edition change, you're still going to lose like players, but just not as much.
Right.
If it's a terrible edition change, your game is dead.
Mm-hmm. That's like Privateer Mark III.
It's Privateer. Flames of War is actually a decent edition, so it's not losing as many players, but there's not many people playing it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
15 millimeter. It's the devil's scale.
The devil's scale.
Speaking of, the Kickstarter for Joan of Arc.
That's the devil's scale.
The Mythic game. The game from Mythic is on Kickstarter. This game is insane. What, I don't understand it. I kept on texting Steve. I'm like, what does this mean? What is this game about? That I love it that they put it out there. And it's like, is it a mini game or a board game? And they're like, it's a board game, but it has customizable forces. So, and I'm like, wait, that's a mini game. And it doesn't have a board. This doesn't make any sense. The figures are like in 15 mil scale. So all the knights and the peasants are 15 mil. But
as we said, the devil scale.
But however, the game also has like the devil and God in it. Like there's sculpts for the devil and God.
Yeah.
And
they have to fight on the battlegrounds of whatever century France.
14th century France 14th? Or whatever.
Yeah,
15th century France.
I know it was the fucking Dark Ages.
Yeah, whatever. It was the British who had no teeth versus the French who had no teeth. It's all the same. Just a bunch of people fighting for their kings. You know, a bunch of repressed people fighting for their kings. Still like it happens nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The more things, you know, they say was the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah. Except in New Zealand, they got kind of a good-looking prime minister there in New Zealand.
They have kiwi birds. I love kiwi birds.
She's, you know what?
The new someone called a kiwi a fat, flightless fuck.
Yeah.
There's apparently some debate about the national bird of New Zealand or something. And in one of the heated moments, someone referred to the kiwi as such.
Why would there be a debate about the national bird of New Zealand?
I don't know. It was a thing I briefly saw on Twitter. It was a humorous note. And I was like, oh, kiwi bird. That's cute.
You know, the national bird of America is bald eagle.
I agree with Brent Franklin. Bird. It should have been the turkey.
It should have been the turkey. I agree with that as well. Because the turkey, not only majestic, but tasty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, eagles probably are tasty too.
They're kind of carrion birds. They probably don't. You're not supposed to eat eagle.
That'll be fine.
Yeah, they eat a lot of dead things.
They just eat their eggs.
Yeah, they're not. They're probably not that good.
Nah, they're fine.
Yeah, you're not supposed to eat carrion bird.
They're fine. It's like they're not vultures.
Them. Yeah, they're kind of like vultures.
Nah, they're fine. Just eat them.
Just eat them. What else? Oh, yeah. So this game, it looks ridiculous and stupid. Oh, New Zealand's prime minister, I wanted to mention. A good-looking woman. You know how old she is, Steve? You know how old the prime minister of New Zealand is now?
Yeah, I don't know.
37.
All right.
It's my age. And I'm sitting here.
Why
I'm,
aren't you the prime minister of New Zealand?
I'm sitting here talking about this shit when someone my own age is the prime minister of a country. You know, not a first-world country, but still, she's the prime minister of a country. I feel a little out of this.
Well, I'd say she's accomplished a little bit more than you have.
Yes. Yes, she has. And you know what the first question they asked her was?
I don't know, something incredibly sexist?
Or do you plan to have children?
Wow. How could I have possibly guessed that?
People suck, Steve. That's the reason people suck.
Dun, 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 dun. Snake!
Snake! Oh, man. What else gaming-wise do we have to talk about? Before we get to the questions, I want to save that about a half hour for that, because that's going to take up a shit ton of time. New Forge World tank for the Adeptus, for the Primaris looks retarded. It is giganto and dumb, and no one should buy it. I had to, like, I was literally talking with a guy yesterday saying, do not, for whatever reason, buy a Titan. And he's like, but I want a Titan. I'm like, do not buy a Titan. There is no reason to have a Titan.
Oh, they look pretty cool.
Having a Titan is like owning a boat. There's no reason to own a Titan.
But I want a Titan.
I want a Titan. No, you don't.
No, no, no. See, I want a Titan. I'm not going to buy a Titan. Titan.
Okay. That makes sense.
Doesn't mean I don't want it. apparently, the most important news of the day is that I don't like the show Scrubs. I don't know if you like the show Scrubs. I know it was a really popular show.
Which one's the funny Scrubs?
A predictive text bot, they programmed a bot with predictive text based on the average scripts of Scrubs.
Yeah.
And it produced an average episode of Scrubs.
Ooh, that's
and
fun.
Apparently, Zach Braff is into it and wants to record the the episode.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I'm trying to find, like, the post for... I hate the interface on Facebook app for having a web page.
Facebook's butt.
The giant robot duel between U.S. and Japan.
Oh, that was
and then the bigger U.S. robot comes out.
That was such a joke. I mean, it went down as everyone expected.
Were there missiles?
No, they couldn't do that. There was like...
Well, then it's dumb. It doesn't count.
Yeah, well, whatever. I don't know. I just saw one clip of the Japanese robot just clobbering the American one, so... which would make sense, because if you just look at the two robots, the American robot is big, dumb, and fucking stupid, and the Japanese one looks like a robot.
What does a robot look like, though? A robot is whatever we make it to.
A
look
robot
like.
Looks like it's meant for the task of what it's supposed to do.
Okay.
So it has some sort of
what are you programmed to do?
Reasoning yeah. to it. So like, if it's a gigantic arm, you're like, oh, this robot lifts and moves things,
or arm wrestles.
Well, it wouldn't be gigantic if it arm wrestles, because what's it going to arm wrestle?
Another gigantic arm wrestling robot.
Okay, yes. If it's robot versus robot arm wrestling, sure. But I mean,
see?
I believe some of the first arm wrestling robots would be made to arm wrestle humans. 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 Human females.
To kill all humans. this was the big news. 40K. In 40K, WizKids and GW have agreed to a deal. This
bringing
is
back Fury of Dracula, Relic, and something labeled Games Workshop Dice Game.
Games Workshop Dice Game. It's Dice Masters 40K is what it's gonna
of
be.
Of course,
which is dumb. Like
it'll sell.
Hey,
people like Dice Masters. Dice Masters is an okay game.
It's like, what's the draw of 40K? Really cool models. Let's have 40K, but we'll take out the coolest part of 40K.
I'm going to throw out there that I actually going to have to say that the IP is the strongest draw of 40K.
You think so?
I
think
do.
The IP is terrible.
I think the IP is the strongest draw of 40K.
The IP, it doesn't matter. IP is just filler for cool models. They just create IP for the cool models.
There's so many people who get into the models because of the IP. Because they play a video game or read
maybe,
a book.
But like, those books are and all that stuff is already based off the models to begin with.
Right, right. I mean, I'm not talking chicken and the egg. I'm saying what drives 40K, I believe,
y'all talk about
now.
Perturbo?
Is more.
They got a Perturbo figure.
Is
I
more
want a
about
Perturbo
the IP
figure
because I know people really like
Perturbo.
The IP.
Well, you got some Lorgar over there. You got a Lorgar model. I want to get some
Logan Grimnar. He's got a sweet beard.
Logan. No, Doom Rider.
Doom Rider, the most metal model ever made.
He's the Doom Rider.
Throwing up the devil horns like fucking
riding through the
standing
doom.
On his bike.
The model was the greatest model of all time.
It's definitely the most metal.
Definitely the most metal. Now it's resin. So yeah, they got the I hope that you know what I want them to do? I want them to do 40K clicks. I want them to do like 40K models, but like the terrible prepaids.
No.
With the clicky bases. Because you know what I want to see? what I really want to see is I want to see the people who take the clicky models and cut off the clicky part and put them on the 25 mil or 32 mil bases.
Never
and
then, gonna happen.
And play the game with the crappy prepaints, because the crappy WizKit prepaints is still better than the figures that they could paint themselves.
That's awful. It was never gonna happen.
All right, let's see what else. Yeah, the stupid Primaris tank. Okay, and the Nurgle releases, the Nurglemans.
Nurglemans.
I'm the Telemaster of Nurgle. I count things that are seven.
Woo!
Tick, 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 tick. Yeah, whatever.
Fat tank is pretty cool.
I just hate that, like, all of the sites that I go to see people, like, what they're painting, what they're working on, it's all Nurgle right now.
It's the new 40K release.
I can't do it.
And it's the first 40K release, like, the first big 40K release.
Well, since the Primaris stuff.
Well, yeah, Primaris were a base game drop.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, there's a lot of Primaris that weren't in the base game that have been dropped.
They were, like, the core thing, so they're, like, the Sigmarines.
Yeah.
But, and they're Space Marines, so you see a shit ton of them anyway, but, like, this is the first new 40K 8th edition army, so.
First new?
And of course, everyone's wanted a Death Guard army, an actual Death Guard army, for a very long time.
I never wanted a Death Guard
army. Everyone's wanted a Death Guard army.
No, Death Guard is stupid.
Everyone's wanted a
Death Guard
army.
Death Guard is stupid. Give me some Iron Warriors. That's what I'm looking for.
They're just generic Chaos Space Marines. I mean, I like Iron Warriors, but
give me some Word Bearers. How about some Word
also
Bearers?
Also generic Chaos Space Marines.
Well, no. Okay, I'll play Loyalist Legion. I'll play the Alpha Legion. They're loyalists.
The Dark Eldar. Dark Angels. The Deldar.
The Dark Angels. You know, Chaos chapter.
Yeah, that's right.
It's one of my favorite memes, by the way.
Oh, then their logo, you can do the Chaos Star.
I love it. I love everything about that meme. I think it's hysterical. And not because I don't think anybody ever gets upset when people call them a traitor legion. It's just, it's... The fact that, like, the meme pretends that people get upset about it is funnier to me than anything else. You know what we didn't talk about last time that I wanted to talk about that we never got to? Was how I hate Duncan.
Everyone loves Duncan.
Oh, no, I should...
Of course you'd hate Duncan.
I hate the fans of Duncan. How about that?
Oh, okay.
Does that make
more
Duncan's
sense? A meme.
Well, that's how I hate it. It's like, he's... Like
the tears of Duncan.
I don't think he's that good.
Duncan is very solid at what he does.
No, he's very solid. But yes. I mean, I'd much rather watch like a super pro painter painting than Duncan.
But that's not what they want. They want. I mean, Duncan's actually his competitive stuff is really fucking good.
I watched because I got like really mad. I'm like, why are people talking about Duncan? Like he's some guy like the paint god. This is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And then I watched some of his stuff and I was like. Like, okay, he's not terrible.
He's
got solid paint. Like, his white painting guide, though, his guide to painting white, one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. But besides the point. But then I was, like, watching it, and I was like, I like that technique he did with that ink.
I told you.
I'm going to steal that technique.
I told you, Duncan.
And then I did that technique with the ink, and I was like, that looks way better.
I told you. It's because it's Duncan. Duncan's awesome.
Yeah. And, like the two thin coats thing. Who's got time for two thin coats? No one's got time for two thin coats.
That's my favorite meme. Two thin coats. Hashtag two thin coats.
No one's got time for that. I ain't got time for that.
I have yet to actually need to do two thin coats. Because in most of the time when you're like you hit it with the wash and it's just kind of like, oh, it just kind of looks like I painted this right, so yeah. I'll leave it.
Three thick coats, that's what I go with, Steve. Three thick coats.
Just go with one thick coat.
I just dunk the model in the paint. Just
get it on.
Fucking get it on there. Is it in all the cracks? Nice. All right, let's go. I did mail call this week. It's been about 10 episodes since we did mail call, so let's do another mail call. Let's start off. You know, traditional guy who starts off, Raza, first one to comment. Mm-hmm. What is your pick for best Halloween game and why? Let's just say, what's your best pick for Halloween game
Betrayal
this year?
At House on the Hill.
I think that's been your perennial pick.
I cannot come up with a better, and I don't specifically mean like this is the best horror themed game. I mean like if you are at a Halloween party with about 4 to 6 people and they want to play a board game, there's no better game that you can just sit down and play with people who don't know how to play games.
Yeah.
There just really isn't.
RPG-wise, I think probably for Halloween, if you're doing a one-shot game, it's probably going to be End of the World, one of the End of the World scenarios.
I would say All Flesh Must Be Eaten, but that game's kind of not really around anymore.
The hard thing is coming up with like a one-session game, like a four-hour game.
All Flesh Must Be Eaten is perfect for that, but it's not really around anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, the nice thing about End of the World is that you got a couple different things, so you don't always have to do zombie. You could do, you know, End of the World, Aliens, Cthulhu, whatever have you. I would say Call of Cthulhu, mainly because you're going to end up killing all the characters anyway after 4 hours.
Yeah.
So that works.
Or completing their story.
Or complete, but there's so few pre-gen stories that are under, that are one session games. I mean, I could probably pick like two or three of them, and even those are mostly like 1 to 2 player games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not designed for like a group of 4 to 6. So that's, you know, on that. Mysterium, I think, is really great. It still works out, but I think Mysterium's not quite a Halloween-y game enough. But I'm gonna go with the old standby and say Clue. And if you could find a skinned the most ridiculously skinned version
Rick
of Clue.
Rick and Morty Clue.
Yeah, like a Rick and Morty Clue. Go with that.
I think the most ridiculous skinned Clue is, which will never ever be topped, is Golden Girls Clue.
Ooh, who that's killed
an
Rose?
That's an actual thing. Golden Girls Clue is real. I think it's...
Dun, dun,
it's,
dun. Thank you for being a friend.
Once I saw that, I was just kind of like, man, these...
Travel down the road and back again.
Where's my Perfect Stranger's Clue?
My heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
But
if you threw a party and invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend. Bum, 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 what they should do bum, is they should bum, do like a TGIF version of...
Oh, shit. Family Matters, Full House. Oh, man.
What's a...
Whatever happened to this predictability?
The milkman, the paperboy, evening TV. Oh, man. I was a... I know this is going to sound weird. That's not going to... It's for me. The My Little Pony movie that just came out, the soundtrack, my daughter's been listening to it nonstop. And by proxy, I've been listening to it nonstop. They actually sampled Thank You for Being a Friend.
Do they?
One of the songs.
That's
yeah.
fucking funny.
I looked at my wife. I'm like, do they really just cover the song? And she's like, it's only like sampled in the song. They go into this whole other thing, and then they go back and resample Thank You for Being a Friend. I'm like, oh, that's terrible. They should have just done the original song. It's
Days
much better.
Days gone by. It's the bigger love of the family. I still say that's an RPG.
It's a rare condition in this day and age to read any good news on the
newspaper
page.
I'm telling you, man, that's still an RPG.
It is.
Make it happen.
It's a good idea. I think that's like the most solid idea we've ever come up with on this show. All right, let's go. Going on. Joe McLaren asks, what are your predictions for WizKids and GW teaming up? Will we see cheapo pre-painted Space Marines? I think we kind of answered that earlier.
No. We will not be seeing that.
Sorry about that, Joe. I don't read these beforehand, so I wanted to...
So WizKids has been pushing into the board game market more than the miniatures market. They've
been sticking their little chub penis into it.
Everyone's trying to get into the fucking board game money, which is flooding the market and creating a fucking chunk of games that are never ever
going
to sell.
Would you say it's creating a... bubble?
I would, except for the fact that there's no burst to this bubble, because like, unlike other markets, like they're just flooding the market with games that people aren't buying.
Yeah.
So I don't know where, like, you know, there's not really like, because not everyone is keeping buying all these games, you know, like that. If there were a bubble, it would have already burst, because there's games that are just coming out in their DOA, and there's like solid games that are coming out and just dying because there's so many fucking games. The difference between the amount of board games that are coming out now and just 5 years ago is stark. It's like what's going to happen is the industry isn't in a bubble, but I would say that the manufacturers are in a bubble. They're going to start seeing, maybe in the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to start seeing a bunch of these game companies either drop their board game departments, like cut them, or you're going to see smaller places fold.
Well, how many more skins can they do of Monopoly? That's what I want to know.
Oh, Monopoly's infinite. Monopoly's infinite. That's the one thing that doesn't matter.
If we could put anything on the tombstone of this podcast once it's dead, it's that Monopoly is infinite.
Monopoly is infinite. There's no way because you've got... Monopoly works because you've got like the grandma factor of buying it for Billy. You have the people who collect Monopoly sets.
The fetishists of Mr. Monopoly.
Well, that's true. There was that guy dressed like that at the hearing.
That was so funny.
It was pretty awesome. Equifax, and then you've got, you know, people who want to buy a licensed Monopoly for a thing that they like. There's too many factors.
Naperville-opoly?
Sure.
Naperopoly?
I mean, you can get a
custom. Edna-crabopoly?
You can make your own opoly. You could You could give a Joe-opoly. You could make it about you.
It's just sad.
all of the spaces you just pay money into the bank and you don't get anything.
Exactly. It's like you don't go to jail. It's called cry and masturbate.
Go to the miniatures room.
Go to the miniatures room and masturbate.
It's just a picture of you looking sad.
Do not cross go. Do not go to the miniatures room and masturbate.
You lose the game.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, yeah, WizKids is trying to get in the market.
I'm interested to see what Rise of Dracula or Fury of Dracula and Relic look like. I don't know if they're...
What if they just called Fury of Von Karstein?
Yeah, probably should. But I mean, it's because... I mean, Fury of Dracula is an old Games Workshop game.
It is. So but that's what I'm saying. Is like
people really like that game, so I don't think they want to get rid of that power of that name brand.
I know. Well, if they were going to do that, they should have done that years ago.
Fury of Dracula was a fucking... Like, when that game... Like, when the Games Workshop partnership was dissolved, like, people were fucking rushing on Fury of Dracula. People, like, were like, oh, shit, we got to get this game.
Yeah, people like that game.
I've never played it. I've never heard it's good, though. Yeah.
That might be a good Halloween
game. Yeah, maybe that's a good Halloween game. Dracula, blah!
Okay, so Jason Yarborough asks, if GW brought back Warmaster, would you rather have it be set in Age of Sigmar or the world that was?
Oh, Age of Sigmar. I want fucking Hammerhand. I want Hammerhand's.
Vandas!
Yeah, I want Hammerhand's little fucking 10mm fucking Stormcast.
Vandas!
Hammerhand!
I am the script born.
I think
you want a little Corgus Cool?
Yeah, I want some fucking Corgus Cool. I want some Hammerhand, and I want some fucking Morbidex
twice born.
Yeah, I want. I definitely
love those audiobooks.
I definitely
so
want Age of Sigmar Warmaster. That would be fucking sick. They could change it up too. They could make it. They wouldn't have to do it the same way. They could make it circle bases.
Yeah,
you could do War Master with circle bases. Easy.
You could. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a.
You just make them little like three man groups on 20 mils, and then there you go. It would be cool.
War Master. I really wouldn't care. I would just like to see updated rules for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think they'll ever do that.
No, again. They're never bringing War Master back.
No, they won't.
The closest thing I think they would do would be a box set.
Well, I think
I hope they bring back Battle of Five Armies. That's something I'd really like.
Well, I think I was talking about this. I was saying like there is a possibility of bringing back Mordheim, and you could even call it Mordheim. You could say like Mordheim was when the world exploded. Mordheim magically went into this realm.
I'm telling you, Warhammer Underworld's Mordheim.
Yeah.
It's going to be a thing.
Yeah, I would.
It's going to be a thing because they called it Warhammer Underworld Shadespire. These are the warbands that are in Shadespire. Yeah. So that's why that's why everything is specific. That's why it's Steelheart. Everything is specific. So all they need to do is when they finish their last Shadespire warband, like this is the last warband that's in Shadespire, they can just move right on to Warhammer Underworld Mordheim.
That would actually make more sense is like let's say you have each city be a 2-year like window. Like this is our season, mm-hmm. a 2-year season. So this is season 1 of Warhammer Underworld Shadespire. These are all the warbands that are going to work for season 1.
Yeah, it's just like rotation blocks like magic.
And once they open up season 2, you could say like these warbands are going to work for season 1. And for season 2, here's the updated cards for season 2 for these warbands. Certain things get nuked, certain things work better.
Yep.
And
Totally. I think that's the direction that it's headed. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, maybe. Chris Neumeier asks, can't remember if you've talked about it, but what is your favorite dead non-GW miniatures game?
Dead non-GW miniatures game. But it has to actually be dead, right?
Yeah.
So you can't count games that are like on the fringe.
Yeah. I mean, I'll put it if like let's say they died and were bought up by another company and released, they were completely different.
Okay.
I'm gonna say Cronopia just because
it's the perennial.
I love the IP of Cronopia. I think it's so fun. And it was the Cronopia IP is Age of Sigmar before Age of Sigmar. It's just because it's Looney Tunes He-Man.
I actually don't have one.
Yeah.
I don't have a favorite all my favorite dead miniatures games are all GW.
Yeah.
Like
So Dark Age isn't dead,
right? It's not dead. It's I mean, even if it's on life support, it's still not dead.
breathe, damn you.
Well,
breathe.
I mean, I don't know. Dark Age is a game that's just like never going away. So
yeah,
I sold all my shit though. Fuck that. Fuck Cool Mini.
You love War Master. War Machine. That game's dead.
Actually, I never really loved War Machine. I played it a lot, and after a few tournaments, I was like, why am I playing this game? Like, not even kidding. That's how I felt. That game was like the least. That game was the least fun I've ever had playing miniatures games, which was kind of weird. Like, but straight up, the smallest amount of fun I've ever had playing miniatures games was playing War Machine. It was just, I don't know, something about those games. Like, I just not a fan. Like,
yeah.
After a while, you're just like, I'm like, oh, this game's actually not fun. I get it. I mean, it's cool if you're into it, but like for me, I was just like, nah. Yeah, I'm out.
I will also add on there, though I love the Chronopia IP, the game was terrible. Babylon 5, Starship game, great game, but there's not much that you could do with it. The IP is already existing in there, and you can't really make more stuff without, like, it's a Star Wars problem. It's like, you're making ships that don't really fit in the IP
anymore.
Or
ships that don't exist.
Yeah, and you're kind of like,
make up your own shit. I mean, I would say Confrontation, but Confrontation was a terrible game.
Oh, it was a terrible game.
The miniatures were great, but terrible game.
terrible time.
Yeah, I really don't have one. I wish I did, but I don't.
So two things. I want to bring this up really quick. I don't know why it reminded me of it, but on one of the forums I go to, they were talking about bolt action Korean War rules, and bolt action Vietnam War rules. And I'm like, why the fuck
that
would you want
to make any sense?
Why the fuck would you want to play those games? A, none of the rifles were bolt action anymore. And B, it's like, that's like, why? I don't know. I mean, that's too historical for me. Like bolt action World War II, it's like we're far enough away from World War II where it's kind of like,
it's not as grimy.
Yeah, it's not as grimy.
It doesn't feel grimy.
And it's got, you know, it's
for
more,
me, it feels grimy. I think playing any historical war game is grimy outside of like antiquity.
Yeah.
Like if you're talking like Roman dudes with spears, okay.
No, I'm like,
I don't know anyone personally who was affected by Roman dudes with spears.
Well, the World War II thing, it's like, because there's enough, like, the thing is World War II, like the World War II movies that came out of World War II are very, you know, jingoistic, and they're hero oriented, and it's like da 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 da.
Sure.
And
Hamburger Hill.
Yeah, Hamburger Hill, and all those type of things. The
We're
Longest
gonna
Day.
Take that hill.
Well, I'm not gonna hit you, Hitler. Like hell, I'm not. but yeah, it's got that feel to it. You know, Magnificent Seven, Kelly's Heroes, and you know, all that stuff. The Great Escape. You have that kind of feel to it, so you could kind of divorce yourself.
Colonel Klink.
Yeah, you could kind of divorce yourself from the really horrific aspects of the game of the real war. But like, how are you gonna do that with Vietnam War and Korean War? Like, MASH wasn't that great to begin with, and so.
I don't know. I never liked MASH. That was always like my cue to change the channel as a kid. Yeah, I heard that and I was like, no.
And what was the other thing? Oh, and I'm sorry, but is it Shame? It's not Seamus. Someone, it's BA Chef, is trying to get everybody to do all of their basing on clear bases for bolt action. Like, he's trying to like start this movement for clear bases. No, I'm sorry, guys. Clear bases is the dumbest thing ever. When you are painting a model,
yeah,
the bases on the model make the model.
Super important.
They're the most important thing you can do.
They look awesome. Like, that's one of the best things. Like, that gives the model a completeness. That gives the model its theme.
Yeah.
Like, everything about the model, like, it's like it's the sauce.
It's, yeah.
It's the sauce. If you don't have sauce, you're just eating noodles.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, yeah. That's a good thing.
You if you don't have the sauce, you're just eating noodles.
Yeah.
So you got to have a sauce. Every great noodle dish out there has a sauce, no matter what.
Even Oleo, you gotta get a little
I don't
butter.
Know what that is?
A little butter on the noodles. A little bit.
Oh yeah,
butter.
Exactly.
Noodles.
Yeah,
you still butter in the noodles.
And they put some oregano. That's still a sauce.
Yeah, garlic. I like a little.
Yeah,
garlic.
Yeah, sure. But that's still a sauce.
Okay.
Nobody eats plain noodles.
Yeah.
So a miniature without a base is plain noodles.
So if you're thinking about basing your figures on a clear base, lift up your right hand. Make a kind of blade with your hand, and then smack your face as hard as possible, and base your goddamn figures.
The only possible exception I could think of is a miniature is made for a board game where you need to see where they are, like on the board.
But that's not a minigame.
Right, true. Yeah. That's a very narrow fucking thing.
Or flying bases. I'll let you get away with a clear base for a flying base.
Yeah, flying bases, I'll give you that. I always put sand on mine.
I do too.
I like doing the I like having them flying over the ground. But if I were doing
just so you could go,
you know what? I would do clear for a space game.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's the same thing as flying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I do sand on my bases for
oh, okay,
for
yeah.
flyers.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying.
For
I'll
a space
game,
sure. And
flying.
For a sea game.
toot, toot.
Yeah, I would do that if you.
No, because if I'm doing if I'm doing a bass for if I'm doing a C game, I'm doing waves on basses.
I like the.
It's a lot of work, but I like it.
I want the board to be very painted for the. I want to have like a really nice look for the board, and then have them going over so I can see
no,
my board.
No, I just want blue felt on my table.
Okay, fair enough.
Or a pool liner. okay, so going on. Anthony Carroll Anferny asks us: Star Trek Discovery, hit or miss? Right now, it's a miss.
I haven't seen it.
I
don't know.
Luckily, for those, I don't know, is Anthony in America or is he, I can't remember where.
Anthony Carroll?
Yeah.
I believe he's New Zealand.
New Zealand. Okay, so in America, everywhere else in the world, you can watch Star Trek Discovery on Netflix. In America, it's behind a paywall on CBS All Access pay site. Here's the thing. From everything I hear, the pay site is great. It's got a pretty good interface. The problem is that I don't want to watch anything else on CBS. CBS is a garbage station in America. It's for old people. Like, they watch NCIS and...
Yeah, they don't... Law and Order is like, not CBS, is it?
No. You get NCIS. You get Young Sheldon and the Big Bang Theory. Two Broke Girls. It's, like, garbage. It's complete and utter garbage station. I don't want to watch anything on there. I watched the first the first two episodes I watched. It's fine. It's a fine space opera. It is not Star Trek. It's not Star Trek in the least. The first two episodes...
The Orville Star Trek.
Yeah. And I finally got Steve to watch Orville, and he's like, show's great!
It's good.
It is...
Well, I wasn't sold in the first episode, but I just kept watching it, and I was like, the show's actually really sweet.
It's
TNG with jokes.
Yeah, it's TNG with jokes. And that's what I keep telling everyone. And the funny thing is like, some people I know hate the show, and I think they just hate Seth MacFarlane.
Which is legitimate. Seth MacFarlane has an issue. There's an issue I have with Seth MacFarlane because his voice is so...
ubiquitous.
Yes, and you've heard it so much, it's kind of off-putting if you can't distance yourself from it. It's like if you watched a TV show with Dan Castellaneta in it, but instead of him using his own voice, he's just talking exactly
like
Homer.
Yeah,
would be so weird. Even if he wasn't playing Homer, if he was playing like a serious or semi-serious role, you'd be like so taken out.
Yeah,
and because Seth MacFarlane uses his regular fucking voice when he does Brian. But the show's really good.
Yeah, I mean it's. My biggest issue with it is it's like in watching all of the episodes, I realized that it's just a TNG clone, and that like I'm like, this was great back in the 90s and this is fun now as a nostalgic trip. However, it's like we're not doing anything new, you know, maybe a little bit. I'll see how it goes with the show. Star Trek Discovery is a nonsense action show. Like Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry would be rolling over in his grave if he saw Discovery. He'd be like, this is garbage. This is not what Star Trek is.
I don't know. Gene Roddenberry was kind of into the action Star Trek, though.
Gene,
he probably would like
no,
it.
No, Gene Roddenberry.
Gene Roddenberry was kind of a douche.
No, Gene Roddenberry would get mad. He got mad when watching Star Trek II, and when Kirk shot the ear alien, the thing that came out of Chekhov's ears, without trying to reason with it first. He got mad at that.
Well, I also believe that Gene Roddenberry was incredibly inconsistent with his own ideas.
It's his idea, though. He could do what he wants.
I'm not saying that he can't do what you want. I'm just saying that he's inconsistent.
That's true. Discovery, I'll watch the whole thing. I'll be fine with it. Right now, the bigger problem is like,
why do the Klingons look so fucking weird?
It's like, why are you ignoring? It's not that hard to do. You can make them look a tiny bit cooler.
I don't. If they have an I'm sure they have an explanation, but why?
There are many different tribes of Klingons.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's Klingons that look like. So I think they're ignoring the mutagenic virus from Enterprise. The one that made them look like humans.
And they're replacing it with this?
No, I don't think they're replacing that. I think they're saying that that's why there's human-looking Klingons in the original series, is because you just saw one tribe of Klingons in the original series. And that's why the ones in TNG and the movies look different than these, because these are a very specific tribe of Klingons that look, and they have stupid teeth that they talk like this with. It's like, you can't fix that in ADR? Come on.
Again, I am still annoyed that it's not after fucking Voyager.
It's a dumb show, and I don't like it at
all.
I'm
so annoyed. Like, why do they keep going? Like,
I
get Enterprise. Like, sure, Enterprise was cool. But you already did the prequel series, and it didn't work out. Why are you doing another one?
Because they're dumb.
They're legit dumb. They really are.
Well, I mean, also...
Although, I guess they're kind of dumb as a fox, because apparently the enrollment in their fucking all-access thing actually spiked a fuck ton when the show came out.
Yeah,
so
but I
there's a lot of people who want to watch it.
A lot of Trekkies. Okay. Rick Cole asks the perennial question. What is best in life, Steve?
Trying to watch a TV show, getting kind of tired, and just falling asleep.
That?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what mine is? Drugs.
Drugs?
Yeah. Opiates. Yeah. Fucking fantastic. God damn, are they the best in life. I've been 3 weeks. I'm 3 weeks clean with from no pills or anything. And it's awful. Life is terrible without drugs, Steve. It's terrible. Okay. So
you know what? I got an even better one. I'm going to recant that. I'm going to say what is best in life is making plans to go out, breaking those plans to go out, and instead staying home, jerking off, and falling asleep on the couch.
Painting.
That's what's best in life.
All right. Briff Mishko asks, licensing nightmare question. Why hasn't Wings of War system been hacked into a Mad Max Dark Future game? Probably because not many people really want to play Mad Max minigames. They always try to bring
it. There's a Fallout minigame coming out. Yeah. Like if there's a chance for a post-apoc game to really make it, the Fallout one's that's it. Like yeah. If the Fallout game doesn't work, cancel the post-apocalyptic genre in miniatures games. Cancel it.
Cancel the apocalypse.
Go home.
Oh, that movie looks terrible. The new one, Pacific Rim 2.
Ah, dude, it looks awesome. It's fucking giant robots fighting giant robots.
Giant robots.
Yeah, what? How would you? Did you like the first one?
Yeah.
Then why would you not be excited about this one?
I don't think it was a be-all, end-all.
It's, of course it's not. It's a fucking giant robot movie.
I just want...
The first movie was Guillermo del Toro being like, hey, I really liked Godzilla. Robots. Yeah. I really liked Godzilla. I'm making a movie about it. He kind of sounds like Schwarzenegger. I can't do Guillermo.
No, Guillermo del Toro talks like this.
Guillermo del Toro has the most unique Spanish accent I've ever heard.
It's Spanish accent.
He really does.
Is he from Catalonia?
I don't know. He doesn't sound like his.
By the way, whatever. We stand united with Catalonia.
I don't even know what's going on in Catalonia.
They're trying to get independent, and then the Spanish were like, "No," and they were like, "I am so tired."
If they're anything like Texas, then they should get the fuck out of the country.
No. Well, that's the thing. Is like, I don't know if Catalonia is like rich. And, like, they're like, fuck these poor people, we want out, because I don't agree with that. Or else they're like, we're being oppressed in some way? And then they're like...
Help, I'm being repressed.
Yeah, I don't really know too much, but I'm just like, whatever. My a guy I game with is from Catalonia, and he's, like, all about independence. I'm like, okay, I'll be with you. Hey, you're a good guy. I'll trust your opinion on it. Design theory question. Why are butt plugs more expensive than dildos? You know, I never really saw the price discrepancy.
Yeah, I don't think there really is a price discrepancy, but I would imagine because a butt plug needs to be made with a more rigid...
plastic or silicone?
Well, yeah, it just needs... It's a more rigid product.
Yeah.
Like, dildos are like... If you take a dildo and you flap it around, it's like...
Yeah.
The butt plugs don't do that because butt plugs need to have that firm, egg-like... You know,
consistency.
Yeah. So, like, when you got to jam it up there so it doesn't fall out.
I also think that... I think butt plugs are a little more... a specialist... thing
a bit more niche.
Yeah, I mean, like, dildos are a dime a dozen, but to find a person who really truly loves a butt plug, that's probably like a one in a thousand. I'm not gonna say like one in a million because that's not true.
I don't know. I would never. I never really want the feeling that I'm like feeling like I'm constantly shitting that a butt plug would
yeah exactly
produce.
The butt plug does one job, the dildo many. Why do specialist troops cost more points in a game? Yeah.
There you go.
Probably because they're, I don't know.
Because they're elites. They're bigger models.
Yeah, they're bigger models. They do more.
They got more guns.
My feeling is it always goes to a kill death ratio with the point cost in a game. Will this thing kill more models than its point than one? Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. So if this one
is it
model
one to one?
Is it one to one? If it's one to one, that's your basic troop. They should be the cheapest because like that. The specialist model is designed to kill more than one. Yes, you might get unlucky and he might not kill any or maybe just one guy, but he's designed to kill more than just the one. So that's why he costs more points.
Yeah. Everything's pointed on potential.
Yeah. Which is fine.
I mean, how else are you going to do
it? Wiz Workshop Fusion question. How long until a Roberto Gilliam hero clicks? We already answered that one. Scattered Eye question. Which zombie or fant sports game needs to be retired? All of them. Fantasy sports game, I think.
Oh, yeah. All of them.
Yeah.
Get them out of here.
Well, they're done. Blood Bowl's out. Everyone's getting rid of everything. It's all Blood Bowl.
Guild Ball's still going.
Yeah, that people do like their Guild Ball.
Really like Guild Ball.
But it's going to go. It's going to go away. Mm-hmm. Or it's going to get regulated to the back because it's all GW now, baby. You playing Guild Ball? No, you're not. You're playing 40K.
Some people are still playing Guild Ball.
No, you're not. You're playing 40K.
I'm telling you, dude. Some people are still playing Guild Ball.
Immaculate Katana Blade question. What is your favorite Feudal Japan War board game? Shogun.
Yeah, I mean, isn't there only Shogun? Like, I don't think there's any others.
That's the only one I can think of.
There's Shogun. Oh, there's Ito. Ito's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, Ito. A lot of people like Ito.
Yeah, Ito's pretty good.
Yeah.
So there's only two that I can think of, which is interesting. You think there'd be more, but there's only Shogun and Ito. Yeah, and then there's like...
Well, Kensai is the minigame, right?
I don't know. But that's not a... He said Feudal Japan board game.
Well, he says war board game.
Oh, war board game. Okay. Yeah, then you got Kensai. Do you have the minis game?
Yeah. It's fine. I like Clan War a lot. I loved the feel of Clan War, and I loved the lore of Clan War, which I think someone asks about Legend of the Five Rings soon. But I love the background to that as well because it's very specific in time where Clan War is constantly progressing. I like that concept.
The Tokugawa Shogunate.
crowdfunded Schadenfreude question: which current Kickstarter is ho hum? What is the worst stretch goal on record? Everything in the Game of Thrones or the Song of Ice and Fire Kickstarter is obviously the worst Kickstarter of all time. I'm glad it
definitely
didn't make
the worst stretch goals because it had none.
Well, it did have stretch goals, but it was like useless stretch goals. It's like here are some fences. Like, okay, this Joan of Arc
stretch goals are like stretch marks. Nobody wants them.
What?
One up, one up, one up, one
up. The Yeah, they're dumb. The Joan of Arc one that's currently out, I think, is hysterical, and I'm rooting for it. I want this to be the new game of the year.
The worst Kickstarter for me is still the one that was like, I think it was called like Faith, the Bible board game, the one that had $40 raised.
what about the deck of cards that would work as the dice?
Oh. That was fucking hilarious, but no, still not as bad as like the Faith, the Bible board game. That one was the worst. That was the worst Kickstarter I've ever seen.
Well, what do they call it on The Simpsons? Where he's like, they're
Billy
playing
the Clonosaurus.
No, they're doing the Bible trivia game, and he's like, the Vulgate of Saint Jerome.
Oh yeah.
And Bart doesn't know the devil. Yes. Doesn't know Jesus. Yes. He's like the devil.
The devil.
That's the one where
Iron helps us play.
That's the one where Bart and Lisa get taken away because of the DCFS comes by and mm-hmm. stupid babies need the most.
Stupid babies need the most attention.
Peter Capazzo, hey, asks, will Privateer Press make it or are they done? They're going to last a while, but they need to really, really rethink their business model.
I think they're banking a lot on their new boxed game.
Yeah, the skirmish one, right?
Right. I think they're banking a lot on that.
Will not work.
Yeah.
Skirmish
know.
Games do not work. People don't play War Machine to play a skirmish game. It's the same reason why skirmish in 40K and skirmish in Fantasy don't work.
Because I got into War Machine because it started as a skirmish game and I wanted to play a skirmish game.
Yeah, but I mean, even then it
just doesn't last.
It wasn't that.
It just doesn't last. Because when it was new, when War Machine was new, it was very much a skirmish game. It was there were no units. It was just dudes and warjacks. That's the whole game. The whole game was warcasters and warjacks.
Yeah,
like that was the game, and that it was awesome. I'm gonna say it out there. That was the absolute best War Machine has ever been. When it was just Warcasters and Warjacks, that game was great.
Raza asked another question. If the two of you were to hire to make a skirmish or army-style tabletop game based off a video game, TV, or movie property, what would be your first and second choices? I think we already said Golden Girls and Perfect Strangers.
Jokingly or like real?
Do we ever have is there a distinction between the two for us?
Well, I mean, like, do I want to make money with this or do I want to produce it so it can exist?
Produce it so it can exist, yeah. Duh.
Because then I want a Golden Girls miniatures game. I want a Golden Girls skirmish combat game.
I agree with this. And Warjack.
Actually, you know what? No, I'm not going to limit it to the Golden Girls. I'm going to make it the TGIF skirmish combat game.
Well, they weren't TGIF. They were different.
We'll call it something else. But it'll be the sitcom skirmish. Skirmish.
I think their universe was called something specific. It was not the Golden Girls universe, but it was like, because the Golden Girls existed in the same universe as Empty Nest, Nurses, and right. like Golden Ho- or whatever. There was a couple different shows that existed in that universe. But yeah, the TGIF universe, different. That's like the Urkelverse.
Mm-hmm.
Cause, with the exception of Perfect Strangers, because I don't think Perfect Strangers ever merged technically with that universe.
It did, because Family Matters is a spinoff of Perfect Strangers.
That's right, you are correct.
Because Harriet was the elevator operator.
She was. I apologize for that one. Because then Urkel would go to like Step by Step. Mm-hmm. And stuff
step
like
by step by step,
day by day.
Let's start over, different hand to play.
Yeah,
the people we stay, stronger we stay, make it better the second time around.
Then they go on
Cody.
Poor Sasha Mitchell, star of Bloodsport 2. Raza also asks, let's say you have somehow required rights to an out of print game. What game would it be, and how would you put your mark on them to make it your own?
Dude, Blanche would beat the shit out of Danny Tanner.
Probably would.
Dude, Danny Tanner would be fucking worthless.
Well, her charisma is just so fucking high.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just tall.
It's true.
and dirty. If out of print game, I don't know.
The sitcom SmackDown. Yeah.
That'll work.
Carl Winslow. Carl, I got who do you got in your war band? I got Carl Winslow, I got Balky Bartakamus, and cousin Larry.
TGIF Underworlds.
Yes.
Friday night. Yeah, and you just like so you got Urkel, you got cousin Larry, and you got everyone takes Urkel because he's just standard. He's the best in that lineup right there.
Urkel would be like how what's his name? Who's the shitter from The Hobbit?
He's
with the bad teeth. Alfred.
It's
Alfred,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be like Alfred because the Alfred model in the Lord of the Rings minis game, he doesn't do anything, but he fucks with the other player. Like he like ruins their shit, but he doesn't actually do anything. So that'd be Urkel.
Okay, that works. Yeah,
and then you could actually have the upgrade where after a certain number of rounds, Steve Urkel could train into Stefan Urkel using his machine.
Well, you flip the card over.
Right, and he's Stefan Urkel.
Use your action phase.
And then he has got way, way higher stats.
Yeah, way higher stats, but he doesn't have the he's not a buff anymore. He's a combat monster.
Exactly. He becomes a combat monster.
Yeah, when he's Urkel, he's just a buff monster.
Buffs debuffs.
Yeah, he buffs debuffs. When you flip him over to Stefan Urkel, he's actually a combat monster. Mm-hmm. So it works out both ways.
Yeah. And Carl Winslow has he's got a special thing, which is... never shoot again, which is his diehard rule.
Yeah,
and then he just pulls out his gun. He just like makes his one shot.
It's like it's a one time use. Like it's like, but it's insta kill.
Yeah, and just like bam, it's good stuff.
And then you get Twinkies,
and you get John McClane in there. Because I'm telling you, that's the same universe. They might have changed the names, but that was just a mistake.
You think that he just moved to Chicago?
Harriet was pregnant with Theo. And he moved to Chicago after the events of Die Hard.
Yeah.
After
the events of Die Hard 3.
Yes. No.
Or 2. He was in Die Hard 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you. That's Carl Winslow.
I think that's a great idea.
Reginald Vell Johnson.
Reginald Vell Johnson. He was also in Ghostbusters as a cop.
It's true.
Come on. Mayor wants to rap.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's Carl Winslow.
Yeah. But he was in New York at that time. So he went from L.A. to New York, then to Chicago.
Yeah.
He was in New York first, then went to L.A., then Chicago.
There you go. Yeah. That's exactly it. He started his career in New York, moved because, I don't know, Harriet needed something.
Come
so
on,
they
we got to move through this. We got a lot of questions.
Oh.
And we're already over on time.
I really just want to talk about the skirmish game now.
Okay. Out of print game, anyone that you'd want to buy? Any game. Out of print. Like you want to make your mark on your own?
I want a mint copy of HeroQuest.
You want to do HeroQuest?
Yeah.
Well, this is you doing it. Like, getting the rights to it.
I'm getting the rights to it. Oh, yeah. I'd remake the Omega Virus. Yo, human scum.
I'll just do Cross.
Dude, the Omega Virus would be fucking lit.
I'll do Fireball Island.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. Hell yeah. Let's get this done.
And I wouldn't change any of the rules to make it mine. I would just I would pretty much just eliminate the rule book altogether and put one page of rules in there, which
shoot
is
the fireball.
Shoot the fireball. That's it. That's all I'd put on there.
I loved Fireball Island. I played the fuck out of that game when I was a kid.
It was a great board. Okay, so Andrew McColl asks, FFG have announced an aggressive release schedule. It's an aggressive release schedule for their L5R card game. How long do you think it will last before returning to a monthly schedule used for the other games?
Oh, yeah, they're dumping. They're dumping sets. It's like one a week or some shit.
Why are they doing it?
I don't fucking know.
You think that they don't have any confidence in it? Because I heard it was a fucking crazy release. Like, it made money.
I don't know. The one person I know who was the most excited about that game said it's awful.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's the reason why they're dumping it. It's because they're not happy with it, and they're just like, let's get everything out will cleanse the palate, go back and read.
Yeah,
do something
I don't know. I haven't played it. I won't play it because I don't support Fantasy Flight. Yeah, but from what I heard, the one person I know who was the most excited about Legend of the Five Rings, like, they were super fucking stoked. Like, they were like, dude, this game's awesome. I'm really looking forward to it and talking about, you know, all the shit they want to do, said that it sucks.
Okay.
So.
Well, there you go. What sort of release schedule do you think we'll see for Star Wars Legions? Quarter releases like other Star Wars properties? Would a slow release schedule damage the initial growth of the game? Yes.
That game's not going to fucking grow. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Don't invest money in Legions. Please don't waste your fucking money on it. It's a terrible game. There's two factions.
How many porgs are you going to run?
Yeah.
I want six porgs. I think porgs should be the new form of currency. You're like,
I bet
that's
six,
three porgs.
I wager eight porgs on this.
Eight porgs. You have a high confidence in this, eh?
I love the porg. Fuck everybody who hates the porg.
It's so fucking stupid.
Dude, so stupid. Oh, grit's great. No, you have two factions. One of them is painted all white. Go fuck yourself. And it's going to be a quarter release.
You could paint your stormtroopers black because you can make them the Death's Head troopers.
Yeah, I don't care.
Just paint them black. Just spray them black. Just spray them black and be like, done.
I see a stormtrooper. I want to paint him black. Steve doesn't know that song. But yeah.
No, it was in the movie with Kevin Bacon, Stir of Echoes. So I do know it.
I just saw an article released about Stir of Echoes where it was Kevin Bacon was saying, like, fuck, man, Sixth Sense really fucked up the release of Stir of Echoes.
Yeah, I could see that. Stir of Echoes was actually...
It's not a bad movie, yeah, but it's just in comparison to Sixth Sense, which was a phenomena at the time.
Yeah, that movie was fucking crazy popular.
Yeah. I mean, but now you look back and I go, oh, yeah, it's crazy popular because people were really dumb.
Oh, it was very unique at the time.
We all fell in love with
Haley Joel Osment. He was phenomenal.
It's a twist. I can't think of his name.
Oh, M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan.
I love The Sixth Sense. The thing is, it's a movie that only works once. So the.
No. Well, you can't say that because. Usual Suspects should be a movie that only works once, but it's actually a really good movie. Yeah, it's
but
a little...
No, the twist in Usual Suspects only works once, but the movie doesn't only work once.
Well, Sixth Sense...
Like, Nick of Time is the same way. Like, Nick of Time's a great movie, but it also only works once. The Game with Michael Douglas, also an excellent film, also only works once. Because the impact only happens once.
I don't like The Game just because it was the bro film of my college dorm.
Oh, really?
Like, all of the bros were all into The Game.
That's funny. Yeah. That's so weird. Why?
I don't know.
That's funny and very odd.
So Paul Mullis asks, do you think War Cradle can make a silk purse out of the sow's ears that were Wild West Exodus and Spartan Games? If so, how do they correct the U.S. market now that we have a resurgence in GW? They won't. Those games are going to regulate it to the side as some...
I think it's possible, and it needs to be boxed releases, not a miniatures game. It needs to be board games. It's like Wild West... It's like... there's Shadows Over Brimstone, the guys that make Flying Frog, the guys that make like Touch of Evil. Yeah. If they do that style of game with the IPs, they might have a shot.
Okay, I could see that. I could definitely
see that. Because Wild West Exodus would work as like a four-player like map-based board game with cool figures.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't even think you need to have a map-based board game. I think this is what you do. I like where your head's at, but you release a kind of... Remember how Dreadfleet had the mat?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Put a board game out there with a mat like that.
Sure.
That you could just unfold on a table, and you don't make the mat big. You make it standard table size.
3x3.
Like a 3x3. Perfect idea. Or 2x2, even. And you just have that, and you say, like...
2x2 if the game is 1v1.
Yeah, 1v1. Okay. Let's say 1v1. You put out the mat. You put out, like, the initial, like, set of, like, this is what you're going to play. And then you do that. And you do that for every fucking release. You put out the mat. You put out dice. You put out... you know, whatever rule book material you have in the figures, and then you say, like, hey, you know, the previous release with these figures, you could use it for this version of the game too.
Yep.
You know, that's the way you do it. So you trick people into thinking that they have a board game. It's the trick.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's and Cool Mini or Not has made a fuck ton of games on that principle of, like, Blood Rage. That's a miniatures game, but it's a board game.
Yeah. Blood Rage. Rage. Jeffrey Bushy asks, why does Harmony Gold get so much enjoyment shitting on everything that I love?
Does he still have the Transmetropolitan Facebook picture?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I'm looking at it right now.
All right, very good.
Is it petty of me to hate convention exclusives, early releases like TI4 or the Hasbro Magic the Gathering set?
I think convention exclusives are bullshit if they are not available in some other way outside of it.
I don't think they're bullshit unless they if they don't have an impact on the game as a whole.
Well, it's very specific. So, like, the Hasbro ones, the Planeswalkers from Comic-Con, those are just alternate art versions of cards that already exist. I'm cool with those.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to have that version to use it. Like, I can use the $11 Garrick Wildspeaker. I don't need to use the $75 convention exclusive Garrick Wildspeaker. That's fine. But ones that are like, this card is only available at this convention and it's super powerful and you can only get it at the convention, that's bullshit.
Well, it's super powerful and it's legal. That's the problem.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If it's a limit, if you can't use it, then that's fine. Yeah, yeah, whatever you want.
Is a perfect grade worth the anal fissure, or should I stick to inserting real grades that, while less exciting, won't result in rectal fissures?
I mean, sometimes you just got to give it to the perfect grade.
That's exactly. Yeah. I'm with that as well.
Because you need, sometimes you want to have the entire Gundam model up your ass, but just the hand sticking out.
Okay, it's a Gundam thing.
Yeah,
okay.
And when the hand's sticking out, you want to be able to move the fingers.
Okay. Tickles. Yeah. I didn't know quite what that was.
Those are the levels of Gundam kits.
Okay. Jason Chaplin asks, if Pat B was a miniatures gamer, what kind of would he be? A damn wiener kid, a filthy casual, neckbeard, or historical gamer? Neckbeards and historical... Well, no, they're separate.
You can be a neckbeard and historical gamer.
But they're not, like, mutually exclusive. Also,
filthy casual, no question.
What would his game of choice be?
Filthy casual... I actually don't know. I think Pat would be... I think he's an Age of Sigmar guy.
Okay, I was going to say, like, let's say minigame. No, he'd be a 40K guy. He's a 40K
no,
guy.
No, I actually think he's an Age of Sigmar guy. I think he thinks he's a 40K guy, but he's actually an Age of Sigmar guy.
Well, okay. Maybe I'll see that. But I see him, like, going into, like, a Games Workshop store and being like, what are these guys here?
I see him starting with Space Marines and then ending up playing Age of Sigmar.
At this day and age, he'd be all about the Primaris. Yeah. Is what he'd be.
That's it. I see him starting as Space
Marines.
I couldn't
see him playing Chaos either. But he'd be like, I can't play the bad guys.
You can play the bad guys. No question. Pat B playing the bad guys? Get out of here. Impossible.
Yeah. He'd be the guy that'd be like, so, you ever order from this Forge World? So they got some cool models there. No, Pat, don't.
Pat should play a miniatures game. Pat should play Arena Rex.
Yeah, I could see him playing that.
Pat should definitely play Arena Rex.
You know what the problem is that I think, like, I don't think Arena Rex is... I think he needs an intro game before he gets into Arena Rex. I think, like...
Arena Rex is simple enough.
I mean, it's simple enough, but I think he needs, like, a game, like... He needs 40K to see that there's, like, a player base. To play the player base and be like, I don't want to be involved with this player base anymore. I want to be involved with a much smaller player base that actually cares about the game. So, yeah, that's what I see. And I see him being the type of guy that's, like... I have to, like, hold his hand while he's painting figures, and he's constantly sending me pictures and, like, what do you think of this? I'm like, oh, that looks great, Pat. That looks great.
Looks good. Yeah. Looks good, buddy.
Daniel V1K asks, what wacky and weird adventures has that katana for being up to? I think he means katana guy.
The katana guy?
Yeah.
I have learned one hiragana.
Okay. And if he had an Age of Sigmar profile, what would it look like? Bow before the shogun, maybe.
You definitely have the keywords katana,
yeah,
fedora, and yeah, shogun. Those would be his keywords. Oh, and human. He's definitely human.
He'd have a special rule called nothing personal kid, where he teleports behind
nothing personnel kid.
Oh yeah,
it's spelled personnel.
Where he'd transport behind the enemy's general and immediately cause 3 mortal wounds.
I'm sorry, master, I need to go all out just this once.
That's where he doubles his attack profile.
Funny story. Katana means sword.
Yeah.
So when you say a katana sword, you're saying sword.
Well, it's like saying chai tea. It means tea. Tea. Mm.
Tea. Tea.
Yeah. ATM machine. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go. Masala spice. That's another one.
It's
true.
Benjamin
Newman asks, how fucking stupid is FFG's decision to release all the F5R packs this soon? I didn't know that this was a thing, apparently.
Yeah, they're dumping them.
It's probably because if the game sucks, they're dumping it, so they just want to get rid of everything. Because here's the thing. If they release everything all at once and the game sucks, the game could go away. But if they have the scheduled release, they have to stick to the scheduled release because of people like Steve, who's a distributor, who's like, no, we already took orders on all of this stuff. Or else they get stuck with all the orders that no one wants anymore. Mm-hmm. So if they get rid of it all at once, maybe people won't realize the game sucks.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Thomas Widgren, what is your favorite game that you are ashamed of loving? I'm not ashamed of anything.
Yeah, I like everything.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone shame what you like. If you like jizz statues, fucking jizz on them.
Yeah.
Fucking have your Instagram of you jizzing on action figures. I don't care.
Thomas, if you had asked us this about 10 years ago, or maybe when we started the podcast, we might have an answer for you. But we've just become old and jaded, and we're just like what you like in this day and age. Except for Malifaux. But everything else, you know, just like what you like. No one cares. No one's gonna call you out
on
that.
Man, Malifaux pisses me off because I really like those goblin models.
This is Halloween.
Goblin models are great. But there's too many fedoras in that game. And top hats.
Oh, you know what's another game that I would like to create? A Mr. Boogity board game. You remember Mr. Boogity?
I don't remember Mr. Boogity.
Oh, it's a great Disney... it was a great Disney, like, made-for-TV movie in the 1980s. Mm. It was about this family that moves to this house, and it's haunted by this, like, pilgrim ghost named Mr. Boogity. It's terrible.
That sounds awful.
But it's like nostalgia crack for me. It's like I watched a shit ton of this when I was a kid. It's 45 minutes long. It's worth watching just for, like holy shit, America sucked at this time.
Beep, beep, witchy.
But it was 45 minutes long. And then they did the sequel, Bride of Boogity, which is an hour 45 minutes long.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Like, you could find... You had to go this...
That's just too much Boogity.
You had to go this deep into the Boogity lore that you get an hour and 45 minute movie. Yeah.
Is Boogity and Mr. and Bride of Boogity a prequel to... what's his name? What's the fucking movie with the Australian movie with the ghost?
Paul Hogan?
No. The black ghost. It's like the bogger. It's a bee. It's another bee. Babadook.
The Babadook.
Babadook.
The Babadook.
Were those prequels to the Babadook?
I like how the Babadook has become like this LGBT.
Yeah, him and Pennywise.
Yeah.
They're a hot item.
They're, well, not a hot item, but I'm saying they're like a...
Beep, beep, bitchy.
They're like a symbol.
They're a power couple.
A pride. No, they're, not that together. I'm just saying the Babadook itself has become a symbol of pride.
And the Babadook and Pennywise are in a proud... homosexual relationship together.
Well, I don't
holding hands.
It can't be homosexual relationship. They're both mythical creatures. They don't have a gender identified
I'm
to them.
I'm pretty sure the Babadook is a dude. Well, Pennywise, maybe not.
Well, the Pennywise turns into a giant spider. And
it turns into whatever it wants.
Yeah, pretty much. But the Babadook, the whole thing was like, I guess it was like him being in the closet. Like, that was the thing.
I thought it was just a joke that, like, everyone was like, all right.
I think that's what it was, too. Yeah. But, I mean, like, I'm all for it. I mean, like, cool. I don't like the movie, but whatever. Why can't you just be normal?
I think that movie, I liked that movie, but it was way too long.
The Babadook?
Yeah, it should have been a lot shorter.
Yeah, I just wasn't a big fan of it.
I like the feel was okay. It was, it was a slow burn horror movie, which are, you know, meh. The last, actually, the fucking, the babysitter, great.
I like the babysitter.
So good.
Okay. So, okay, we got one question left. Let's get through this. What's your favorite CCG and why is it Yu-Gi-Oh?
It's time to duel.
I don't have a favorite CCG. If I had the last CCG I played was Star Wars Decipher. So, Steve, what's your favorite CCG?
I don't play any CCGs anymore.
Yeah.
But I do play Yu-Gi-Oh Duel Links on my phone, so
well,
I guess
go.
It has to be Yu-Gi-Oh.
You like the Yugi. Okay, so the babysitter. The babysitter was infinitely too clever for what it was and what it wanted to be. Things I appreciate with the babysitter. There was no nudity, which... I appreciated because it's like it kind of felt like a throwback where it was like we don't need nudity to make this a fun teen horror movie. I thought it was very fun. There was not like a big explanation about anything, but I did think it was trying to be like way more clever.
What
than
about the sweet Battlestar Galactica reference?
Oh yeah,
at the very end.
I appreciated a lot of what they did, but once again, way too clever. Like I don't appreciate it like when people are talking like they do in that movie because it's very Kevin Smithy, and I think only Kevin Smith can do Kevin Smith.
I thought it was funny. I liked it. And then Gerald's Game, that was the other one I watched.
You like Gerald's Game? I never watched it. I know Gerald's Game because I read Gerald's Game when I was like 13, and why am I reading this book about S&M? I was reading a book about S&M before I knew what S&M was.
The best quote I've heard about Gerald's Game is Netflix managed to turn Stephen King's worst book into his best movie.
No, because The Shining is The Stand is the best Stephen King media put out ever.
I've never seen The Stand.
You've never seen The Stand?
Yeah. Well, I take that back. I've seen The Stand, but much like there was another movie I was talking about the other day. I saw The Stand so long ago, it's like I've never seen it. Does it make sense?
The Stand, I recently rewatched it not too long ago. it still holds up, and it's both simultaneously awful and amazing at the same time.
Now I'm trying to remember what the other thing was.
Because The Stand is Walking Dead before The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead without zombies is essentially what The Stand is.
Oh, I know the story.
And it's awesome. It's so early 90s. It's got Lieutenant Dan in there before he was Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan! Where are your legs?
Where are your legs, Lieutenant Dan? And yeah, I would recommend watching The Stand. It's the best thing ever. I like The Shining, too. I mean, who doesn't like The Shining?
I don't really like The Shining.
You like The Shining.
I don't.
The Shining.
I gotta be honest, I don't really like The Shining.
You don't love The Shining, but you like The Shining.
There's like...
It holds up. It's good. It's good.
There's so much stuff about that movie that is good, and then there's so much stuff about the movie that is just like, ugh.
There's not so much ugh in there. There's...
That movie is like the biggest mix of like boring and iconic I've ever seen. Like the scene where he's going down the hallway on the fucking bike is great. The cinematography is amazing.
Yeah.
Then like when the camera stops and there's just the two girls down the hallway, that shit is awesome. But there's so much that movie is just like,
it's a slow burn. you just get bored easily. Damn millennials. And then the what's that?
Yeah, you're a millennial.
I am not a millennial. I'm Gen X.
Mm-mm.
I'm an Xennial.
The guys who coined the term, I actually talked to Pepe about this. The guys who coined the term millennial say it's 1980 forward. The guys who coined the term, there's debate because there's debate about every made up generational gap.
Yeah.
Always. But the guys who came up with the term, which could be the only thing regarded as a quote unquote authority on this matter, say it's 1980 forward.
I didn't have a computer until I went to college. Let's just put it that way. It's very hard for me to be a millennial when I didn't get my first computer until I was 18.
Your stance was the growing up with the smartphone, right?
No.
Or growing up with the cell phone?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah. If you had a cell phone, it's a teenager. Like, I didn't get my first cell phone until I was 20, so it's kind of like on that. But it's weird for me because my mom and my dad are very... They had me when they were very young, and their parents had them when they were very old. So, like, they were tail-end baby boomers. So I'm like tail end Gen X as is, because the kids of the baby boomers are Gen X, and so it's kind of like, it's really hard for me because I'm in the middle, and I also grew up in like a really poor neighborhood, so I didn't have a lot of the stuff that makes millennials. So it's weird on that end. But what was I?
Now you're just an old man who yells at clouds.
Damn clouds. I think that's about it. Go watch Reanimator.
I fucking love Reanimator. That movie's great.
It's my Halloween movie. I've decided that Reanimator is my Halloween movie.
Oh, Reanimator's fucking great.
I love it.
Who's going to believe a talking head? Go get a job at a sideshow.
I downloaded...
that movie's fucking awesome.
I downloaded Reanimator and Bride of Reanimator. I'm going to watch them both.
Nice. There's a third one.
Yeah, but I mean, you really only want the first two. And even the second one, Bride of Reanimator...
I'll just keep watching all of them. They can make a million Reanimators. I'll watch them all.
As long as it's got Jeffrey Combs.
As long as it's got Jeffrey Combs. And then From Beyond is really good, too.
From Beyond is kind of like the unofficial...
From Beyond!
go to PlanetArbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
I'm Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast. You could also like our sister podcast, Play On Podcast, which is all about video gaming, and Weeb Town, which is all about Japan.
The magnificent Nihon.
The best way you can help out the podcast, like, comment, and subscribe on the iTunes. You could also like, comment, subscribe on YouTube. Aside from that, Steve, until next time.
Find your level of cool. Let the cooling flavor meter guide you. GetHalls.com.
Game Classy.